In our lives, I think we spend a lot of time trying to create moments or memories or decisions that affect our lives. For example, I know a couple, nowadays it doesn't cost you any money to take a picture, right? Because it's all cell phones and digital cameras. So I know a couple who takes a photo of their baby every day. Right? So year day one until, I don't know how long, I don't know when they're going to stop, but I think they're at age 6. So they have a picture of their son or daughter every day. And you can see the progress because they don't want to lose the moment, right? And or we plan for once-in-a-lifetime opportunities or special moments. Do you remember when you first went out with your boyfriend or girlfriend? Remember that? Or when you first encountered your husband or your wife, right? Or sometimes we're always taught to, I think in our lives, we're always taught to take initiative, be bold, and seize the moment, right? Carpe diem, they call it. So this started for me when I was in second grade. Second grade, I didn't really like second grade. And I really liked third grade. Because there was really one girl that I really liked in third grade. So I tested out of second grade. So I skipped second grade. I told the teacher, I don't want to go to second grade. You know, they're like, well, you're not smart enough. Well, give me a test, right? So I tested out of second grade to go to third grade to be with this girl, but she didn't like me, right? So that didn't work out. But many times, the way that we plan to take initiative or seize the moment, it doesn't turn out to be the way we thought it is. So many couples, they spend a lot of time, a lot of hours trying to prepare their wedding, right? And a lot of times, the way that they thought the wedding's going to be is not the way it turns out to be in reality, right? Or for me, preparing to be a priest. You know, I decided to make a decision to become a priest right after high school. And I didn't know it's going to take that long. You know, I thought it was like 2 years, 3 years. All right, then you make you a priest. You know? 9 years after high school. Like, this is ridiculous, you know. So I shaved off some time, right? I graduated college in 3 years. And I was like, okay, hurry up. Seize the moment. Hurry up. Let's be a priest, right? Take the initiative, you know. But then, after I was ordained, I realized, well, wait a minute here. I really didn't learn anything, right? I should have slowed down and really kind of soak in, like, the formation, right? So, if we look at our lives, many times we're called to take initiative, seize a moment, carpe diem. But if you really look at it, I think it's the opposite. It's not so much about seizing the moment, but rather the moment comes to us. The moment seizes us, right? And more importantly, what is our response when the moment seizes us? Take a look at the apostles, right? Did they seize a moment or did the moment seize them? Peter, what's Peter's profession? What's his job? Fisherman, right? Catch fish. I catch one fish one day, another day I catch two fish, all right? The more fishes I catch, the better. Just catch fish. That's his job. And he would have gone fishing, and he would have probably stayed as a fisherman. Did Peter go out and seek Jesus? Huh? No. Peter seizing the moment would be catching a lot of fish, right? But Jesus comes into the picture, and the moment seizes him. Jesus saying, come, and I will make you fishers of men. In the first reading, the Lord calls Samuel. How many times? Three times. And he still doesn't get it, right? He thinks it's Eli, right, calling him. And Eli says, no, I didn't call you. Go back to bed, right? So the moment seizes him. Samuel recognizes it was the Lord. And what is his response? He says, speak, Lord. For your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. But my question is, are we listening? Are we just like little hamsters going, seize a moment, take initiative, or are we truly listening, right? How much time do we spend our lives being active, taking initiative, seizing the moment? How much time do we spend being passive? Let the moment seize us. Let Jesus take the lead, and we just listen and respond. Right? Last week, I celebrated a Mass at the Convalescent Center, and one person, this is like during the homily, one person just randomly gets up, this elderly person, and says, and I think he has some hearing problem, but I don't want to judge, right? Because he speaks really loud. He just randomly gets up and says, "Father, I pray to Jesus, but I don't hear anything." Right? And I was thinking, well, did you run out of batteries in your right? But more importantly, are we just yelling? Are we just telling Jesus what to do? Or are we truly listening? Right? And to kind of help us understand that, it's a typical husband and wife conversation. You ready? It's a typical husband and wife conversation. Maybe sometime, weeknights, the wife comes home and says, "Honey, I had a bad day today." Right? And the husband going, "Oh, here we go again." All right? The wife goes, "I had a bad day. And I got into an argument with my sister. Right? And I almost got into a car accident." Right? And what is the typical husband's response? What is a husband's response? Right? What do you usually say when your wife says that or your girlfriend says that? Huh? Instead of listening, what do we do? What do? You get into problem-solving mode, right? A typical response would be, "I told you. I told you stop hanging out with your sister. This is like the 10th time. She's crazy. Do I need to tell you again? The more you hang out with her, the more crazy it's going to be. I told you before, right? And the way you drive, we're lucky. You're lucky you didn't get into an accident. Because you're due for an accident." Right? That's usually the husband's response. And then, what is the wife's response to that? The wife says, "Honey, you're not..." I am on the right page here, right? The wife says, "Yeah, honey, you're not listening." And the husband goes, "No, you're not listening. I already told you what needs to be done." Right? The husband is basically saying, take care of business. Seize the moment. When he needs to, rather, listen. And let the moment seize him. And he should take a cue, a word from the prophet Samuel, the first reading. His response to the wife should be, "Speak, my beloved, for your servant is listening." If you're able to do that, game over, right? Game over. "Speak, my beloved, for your servant is listening." We gotta wait on the Lord. You gotta wait on the Lord. Kind of like being a good waiter at a restaurant. Do you know the difference between a good waiter or waitress and a bad waiter and a bad waitress? Have you ever had good waiters or bad waiters, right? Okay, what's an example of a bad waiter? Huh? They get the order wrong. Yeah, I mean, a simple order. I ordered this and you don't give me that, right? Or sometimes you go to the restaurant, especially like on the East Coast. You sit down, And the waiter goes, "What do you want? What do you want?" You know, it's just so rude, you know? "What do you want?" Or you get the other kind where, "Today in the special we have option A, blah, 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 okay? 1, 2, 3, option A, B, C, right?" And you say, well, "Thank you for the suggestion, but I'd like to order option C." And the waiter goes, no, "You should get option B. Because that's the best thing that we have in this restaurant." "Okay, thank you very much, but can I get option C?" No. "We're going to get you option B," right? Just, right? A good waiter, you can make recommendations, is nice, but also after taking the recommendations, just simply waits on the person sitting down, on your guests, and says, I would like this, or I would like to that, I would like that. And you just take the order and you just what? Bring it to the kitchen staff. And then you make sure what they ordered is what you have in your plate, and you just bring it over. That's a good waiter, right? We have to wait on the Lord, right? Like, think about waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is at the restaurant, and you're the waiter. You just wait for his cue. You let the customer take the lead, right? And you just get what the customer wants, right? In the gospel, when two people tell Jesus, where are you staying? They're thinking, I want to seize the moment. We have this famous rabbi, this teacher, and I want to take advantage of this golden opportunity here. And what would the normal response be when someone asks you, where are you staying? Right? If I ask you, where are you staying, what do you say? Well, I'm staying in Campbell, or I'm staying in San Jose, right? But what is Jesus' response to the question, where are you staying? He says, come and you will see. Come and you will see. Jesus is saying to them, let the moment seize you. Let me take the lead. Let me take the driver's seat. You sit in the back and you follow, right? So that is your homework this week. In our relationship with Jesus, to not necessarily seize the moment, but let the moment come to you. Let the moment seize you. Rather than actively telling Jesus what to do, how can I passively let the moment seize me and simply follow Jesus, to wait on the Lord, to be Jesus' waiter, Jesus' waitress at the restaurant, right? And repeat the words of Samuel in your prayer, in your reflection, in your thoughts this week. Repeat this mantra this week. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And see what he has to say to you.